Securities and Advisory Services through Independent Financial Group, LLC, a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor member, FINRA SIPC.
Good morning, everybody. Dennis O'Brien, president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group at Exit 90, I-95. Welcome to 94.9 FM, News Radio Now. And the phone number here is 860-464-9490. I'm on it, Chris. I'm giving all the data, key data points before we start. Hope everybody's doing well. Thunderstorms up and down the coast right now, so be careful. I think it's going to rain pretty hard from 10 to about 3 today. So be careful if you're out there. Please don't tailgate. I already got cut off on I-95 on the way to the radio station from a guy with a jersey plate, and I laid on my horn and waved to him. Not exactly waved. But in any case, hope everybody's doing well. It's been a crazy week. There's a lot going on out there, as you know, if you read the headlines and how it affects your money and what's going on out there. Can you believe it's August? Summer is quickly coming to a climax here. So go have some fun if you can stand the humidity. By the way, do you still want to move to Florida? It's like this 9 months a year. OMG. I don't like the humidity myself. I don't know about you guys. Some people don't mind it. I see them eating outside when it's 92 degrees at their favorite little restaurant. I think they're out of their minds. But, hey, let's talk about AT&T. Somebody should be fired at AT&T this week. There's a headline story about AT&T took some of their retirees and paid them the wrong amount of money for the last 10, 15, 20 years. And then they sent them a letter saying we want all the money back, and in some cases it was $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 overpaid over 10, 15, 20-year periods. And then, if it wasn't worse enough, they turned it over to a collection agency. And the collection agency is calling these poor people and harassing them to no mistake of their own. And bear in mind, this pension fund is like $50 billion. Somebody should be fired at AT&T. Guys, if you made the mistake, eat it, okay? Stop bugging these people. They did nothing wrong. And you're talking about amounts that are relatively paltry compared to what assets are in that pension plan. And by the way, contributions to the plan were made based on actuarial assumptions that used those payments that you were making. So the money's already there. Stop harassing these people. You may have the legal right to do it, AT&T, but it's the wrong thing to do. And you're hitting people that have had heart attacks, have had cancer treatments, people that are hurting. This is what they live on with their Social Security payment. Okay, it's not right what they're doing, and it's absolutely disgusting sending it to a collection agency like that. So I demand some heads should roll. Ha ha! Anyway, hope everybody's doing well. Got some news this week. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC, gave a favorable tax ruling to my MLP indexes, and they all shot up about 10% in the last week or two. I have to stop buying them now because I was getting 8% dividend yields. But now the yields are down to low sevens, and the index is up about 10%. So it's beautiful because it's something I've been buying the last 2 years. But I never chase, and when things get too high, I'll back off and let's see what happens. But meanwhile, the people are in. Congratulations. It's doing very, very well. Pfizer made a very interesting announcement this week, very quietly. They're doing something they should have done 15 years ago. Now, it's not super complicated, but Pfizer in the 1990s shot up and went up 3, 4, 5, 6 times because they had done a lot of research. Mr. Platt had led that company in the 80s. They constantly did research, plowing money back into research, little research pools everywhere, and some of them came out with some blockbuster drugs. And sometimes it takes 5, 10, 15 years for this stuff to germinate and eventually come to market. That success led to tremendous Pfizer wealth generation in our area, southeastern Connecticut. And then came 2000, 2001. Now, there's a story. If you know the story of Walmart, okay, Sam Walton started Walmart. And if you know the story, started in little towns all over Arkansas and the Midwest, these little superstores, as the interstate highway system came into effect, he could put these stores in towns, and they boomed because he kept the prices extremely low. When Sam Walton company, Walmart, went public at headquarters in Fayetteville, I believe it is. Sorry if I'm abusing the name. All of a sudden, in the parking lot, after they went public, instead of seeing Chevys and Fords, he started seeing Cadillacs in the parking lot. And he had a big meeting with employees. Now, this is 1970, 71, 72, maybe 69. And he said, anybody who bought a Cadillac, okay, I want you to sell the car or not bring it to work. I never want to see it again. And everybody looked at him like white-faced, like, you know, the big boss is mad. But in his heart, he knew, as a founder of the company, that if people started spending money in a way that grew them out of touch with their basic customer, which was the housewife pinching pennies, that's why they went to Walmart. He knew that if they lost touch with that customer, you know, by using spending habits because their net worth had grown so much because of the success of that penny-pinching housewife, he knew the company was doomed, and he wanted to nip it right in the bud. Why am I telling you that story? Because this happened to Pfizer. Everybody got rich. And in 2001, they started doing things that led them astray from what made them a success. They started buying big companies, stripping them. They were doing a private equity, Bain Capital, Romney's company. They were doing things like that. They were taking companies, stripping them, taking their products, putting them, bolting them into the Pfizer network and Salesforce. And it all sounds good from top down. But all the market catches on to that, and the stock started to crater because Pfizer got away from what they do very, very well, which is develop drugs in-house, patient, build it up, tortoise in the hare, right? So the stocks are going down. Management's got their big salaries and big bonuses, all right? Probably not linked to stock options because the stock started going down in PE because there was no moat anymore. There's nothing special about them. And so the stock went down and languished, okay? The reason I'm bringing it up is this week, Pfizer made an announcement that they're going to start buying small research companies. Get back to basics. Look for companies that have promising compounds, promising drugs, doing the things, pouring money into their own R&D, the things that made them successful. Now management is catching on and realizing, hey, if we're really going to grow. And all of a sudden the stock now is starting to rebound a little bit and get a little bounce in its step. It's interesting to watch. Management is everything when it comes to these companies. So anyway, when we get back, I've got a lot to tell you what happened this week, conversations with prospects and clients all over the country, things that are going on, problems they're seeing, and I'm going to give it back to you. This is Dennis O'Brien. If you liked my retirement 10 commandments, go to www.obrienretire.com and click the button, put in your email, and I'll send it off to you in a PowerPoint. Talk to you in a few. Thank you. Welcome back, 94.9 News Now. This is the Dennis O'Brien Retirement Life and Investing Show. Thanks for listening, and it's Saturday morning, and if you're avoiding the raindrops, please be careful out there. It's getting slick. So hope everybody's doing well. General Dynamics, looks like they're the stock's getting down there, getting more attractive. Not a recommendation, just noticing. And I noticed Fidelity has their 401k. And wants to pretend that they know you individually, but they don't. They have a lot of kids right out of college getting training on the job on your dime, so just be aware of that. UPS, they have Voya, and it's the same thing. They want to pretend that they know all 250,000 employees individually, but they don't. It's hard work learning a family's finances and what they know and what they don't know. And it's takes me a long time to, when I open the file and get your statements in and talk to you, sometimes it takes a while to really get to know you and see if there's a mutual bond and trust that we can develop. And, you know, it can't be forced. It's either there or not there. But when it's there and we work together, I think you're far better off having an individual that will help you in all aspects, not just the individual investment management, because there's a lot going on out there. And, you know, the saying I use, and so, I don't know why, sometimes things get stuck in your head like a tune. You know, you hear a tune and it just catches you, you know. But you don't know what you don't know. And that, boy, is that true. I mean, most of the mistakes you make, if you look back, the business mistakes, relationship mistakes, you bought the wrong car, the wrong house, went into business with someone, you don't know what you don't know. And sometimes, as I get older, I know what I don't know, especially when it comes to this stuff. So that's why I'm always referring out to pros that do know that particular area. And they answer to me if they said or do something that's not with total integrity. So I'm always looking for that because you never know and stuff, especially with lawyers, okay? You know, before you go to a lawyer, please come see me because this is where the maximum danger is in my view. I fight with them all the time because sometimes I'll structure things, sometimes in the client's best interest, but sometimes not. Sometimes I don't like the way they're structuring things, and I want to ask them why. They're not used to pushback from clients, but clients are intimidated by the language, the suit, you know, the whole legal thing. But you have to be aware of this. I'll never forget the story when I was with one of the big firms. Guy comes in very wealthy. He was a cardiologist. And I said, oh, I have a living trust. I don't have to worry about any of that stuff. And I go, good, good, good. I'm glad you got it in all the asset names. And he goes, what? I go, you got to do the document, and then you have to go to town hall and put the house into the name of the document. You know that, right? No, he told me all he knew is the document. I go, oh, my God. You know, man is world-renowned, cardiologist, brilliant guy in his field, but he didn't know what he didn't know. So he goes, oh, let me get back to you. And he comes back, and yeah, you were right. Like, you know, I know I was right, but you didn't know what you didn't know, you know? And you went to the attorney, and you were totally, you know, figured out. He knew he had to do the document and then put the asset in the name of the document. And the fact that he didn't do that tells me that you weren't dealing with a pro, because that's where the work comes in. The document's easy. It's actually doing the footwork and getting all the assets, the brokerage accounts, the investment accounts, in the name of the living trust. That's a lot of work, you know? And if he never followed it up, it's on him. And you didn't know what you didn't know. You didn't know you needed to do that. He should have done that for you. So sometimes with the attorneys, you got to watch what they put in the document. I had one attorney who's left us since. And he made himself a successor trustee of the trust. So he had the husband and the wife of successor trust. And then if she passed, he named himself the successor trustee. And I said, did you know that was in here? No. He goes, I wanted Washington Trust or another local trust department to do it. I go, that's not what's in the document. So you know what? You got to trust but verify. I'm using the word trust in the wrong way, I guess. Trust but verify. Make sure those documents are right and have someone read them that reads them all the time just to check. I know he's a good guy. She's a good guy. Everybody makes mistakes, okay? And so just bear in mind, trust but verify, especially on legal documents. All right, the other area I saw this week, do you own savings bonds? Okay. I hate them. I hate savings bonds because they can only be redeemed through the banks. And believe me, the bank isn't keeping track of when that savings bond comes due. Because many times, what is it, 10, 15, 20 years? So people have these savings bonds, all right, and nobody, including the client in most cases, keeps track of when they mature. So God forbid they're in the estate. Lawyers are smiling right now because, you know, it just takes a lot of hours and to get everything moved over. Chances are they needed to be redeemed in the first place. So keep track of them. The dividend yields used to be good on them. I get it back in the 80s and 90s. But if you do have them, really check out when they mature. Go to your bank. Get the money out of them, please. It's just a nightmare when it comes to estate planning. The other area is whole life insurance, okay? It's good for the agent, but in my view, it's a terrible investment, okay? And most of the time, whole life is sold, like they just take the money out of your checking account every month, and you build up this cash value, and the promise is you won't need to make a premium payment on this insurance when you're older. So what? Just buy the term insurance, and you don't need it when you're older if you don't have minors anyway. So if you're gonna do investing, do investing. If you're gonna buy insurance, buy the term life, and when the kids are gone, terminate it. You don't need it anymore. If you want to keep a little policy for a funeral or whatnot, do that. But that's the thing. CDs yields are still very low. It's making bank managements happy everywhere. They really ought to invite you to the Christmas party because you paid for it. You know. You get these CDs at 1 or 2%. One of the local credit unions run this 3% for up to $10,000. Just give me the $300, okay? Because people go in, they go in with 50, they didn't read the fine print, they don't realize it's only up to $10,000. They're not going to give you that money on a larger amount. So be aware, and I'm shocked by all the money that's sitting in checking accounts in this area. People are coming in showing me their balances and I go, why is it just sitting there? Oh, we don't know what to do with it. All right, I get it. You don't know who to trust is what you're really saying. So it's an interesting. If you have a lot of money in the bank, come in and see me. We can look through. I'll show you some alternatives. Even if you wind up buying super, super conservative stuff, you can do better than you're. It won't take much to do better than you're doing right now. And really, you ought to be invited to the bank Christmas party because you are paying for it. You really are. So just be aware of that. All right. If you have taxable accounts in single or joint name, okay, have a TOD on it, okay? The lawyers are throwing something at the radio right now. But a transfer on death document linked to your single or joint account means you bypass probate and it goes right to your family members or whoever you're leaving it to, okay? TOD, transfer on death. Try to talk everybody into having it, okay? Go to a lawyer and he can make an argument for not having it because of the size of your estate, or trust, bypass trust or anything else, let's have that talk. Let's have that argument, okay? But it better be a really good reason because it's a hell of a lot cheaper not going through probate and a lot more private, too. So that's something we ought to talk about. All right, pension payments. Some of you get pensions. Many of you don't, but some of you do, okay? It's my view that if you're married, all pension payments should be in joint payout. Okay, you get less than the single payout, but you get used to it, and it's the right thing to do by your spouse. Because if you kick early, your spouse is going to get the full amount that you are getting. It's the right thing to do. I once had a guy argue with me in front of his spouse that he wanted the single, and he didn't care. I looked at the spouse, and I looked back at him, and I go, really? And he goes, you know, and he got mad and wouldn't open the account. I said, I don't think I want to deal with somebody who wouldn't want to make his pension payment joint. Really? Are you that whatever? You know? I mean, there's some strange dudes out there, I guess. I don't know. I don't get it. But in most cases, especially as you get older in your 70s, 80s, the house should be in a living trust to bypass probate, go directly to the kids. Okay? So if your spouse gets Alzheimer's or dementia and you're taking care of them and you have the house in living trust, if something happens to you and the spouse, it'll go directly to your heirs, okay, without going through probate, okay? So that's something that you should be aware of. And I'm doing a lot of nuts and bolts things, but these are things I'm coming across more and more. And there's always mitigating circumstances where the advice I just gave, okay, There can be exceptions to it, and I'm always aware of that. But for the most of the time, 80 to 90%, in my opinion, follow this advice, and it's the lower cost, better way to do things. Okay. Now, I had something very unusual. I've been doing this 38 years, and I can honestly say this never happened before. A young client called up, real go-getter, entrepreneur, as a bookkeeper. The bookkeeper was out drinking the night before. And he was too hungover to go to the meeting with the CPA, which I went, really? Your bookkeeper was out the night before of a big meeting. So he called me last minute. He says, is your calendar free? Can you come over with me to meet with the CPA? And I said, sure, I'll come over. You know, we're just, it's a new relationship. Never met the CPA. Figured I'll chat with him and whatnot. And it was a very, very interesting meeting. Before I get into the details of that, I just want to say I feel sorry for the clients and potential clients out there. You want to know why? My language, when I am talking about investments and whatnot, we have our own language, okay? When you go to the CPA, they have their own language, which I was interpreting for the client during the meeting. Sometimes the client doesn't know what you're talking about and won't give any indication. When you go to see the attorney, you have a language issue, okay? The insurance agent, they all have, and I don't think it's on purpose. I just think sometimes they start talking in terms that they know and are comfortable with, but doesn't necessarily mean the client has a clue what the particular terminology means, the specific language of any particular occupation. So how the heck can we expect the client not only to interpret what you're saying, but coordinate it with everyone else? It's very, very difficult, and these are where the mistakes come in. So in the next segment, we'll talk more about that meeting with the CPA and the young entrepreneur, and we'll talk about other things. If you'd like my Retirement 10 Commandments, go to www.obrienretire.com and just ask for it, and I'll PowerPoint the email right to you. Back in a few. Thank you. News now, and stimulating talk. This is Dennis O'Brien, president of O'Brien Retirement, www.obrienretire.com, 860-415-9614, if you ever want to reach me out of the radio station. And this is the Retirement Life and Investing Show. So let's get back to the story. We were talking about a young entrepreneur that asked me to go to a CPA's office because his bookkeeper was hungover and didn't get out of bed or wasn't answering the phone. So he called me and said, last minute, could you come with me? I'm a little intimidated. He didn't say intimidated, but he said, you know, I feel better if you're with me and stuff like that, because he's in his 20s, and I'm not. So CPA was a very, very nice person. I enjoyed meeting her and whatnot. But it was interesting because the language is an issue. He doesn't know this language. He knows his business. But he's a really smart 25-year-old, because I think he knows what he doesn't know. Okay, and he's better than most, no matter what the age, okay? So he knew that he needed some help here in terms of interpreting, and maybe having two heads are better than one and everything else. And it turned out to be very, very interesting for me, too, because to listen to the CPA talk to the client back, and it was like two people talking on two different wavelengths. And I was like fascinated, going, wow. We need to get these wavelengths like on the same wavelength, you know, and they were having a hard time, you know, and I understand, because he's young, extremely talented, but, you know, every occupation has their own language. You know, if you doubt me, listen to nurses talk among themselves, doctors talk among themselves, CPAs, you know, radio technicians. Everybody has their own language, because that's what it takes to be successful in your industry. So one of the things was with the bookkeeper, okay, maybe this is why he didn't show up, was it was discovered going through, and thankfully the CPA had the records of the bookkeeper, okay, a common password or whatever. She did have access to it. Started going in and going through it line by line, and it turned out the client had noticed that on some, you know, over $20,000 of equipment leases that he used in his business were not on the tax form. And she got white and said, where did this come from? You know, I had everything. One reason or another, the bookkeeper was not reading the tax return, or the CPA wasn't getting the data from the bookkeeper, and they might have put it in late. The massive miscommunication that cost the client potentially a lot of money, which begs the question, what other mistakes were made? Okay? So they went on and on about that. And then the other thing was, the client is going into a new, riskier business in terms of risk. I'm not talking about getting paid or being profitable, but the business is more dangerous for the work people, okay? So he was asking the CPA, should he, right now he's a single member LLC, okay? So he's not even an S-Corp, which is the next level in complexity. He wanted to know if he should go right to C-Corp. When you're a C-Corp, okay, you got to have minutes, meetings, you have to have a board, stock issued. It's a big deal. It's a big, big change, you know. And believe me, if you can't get your bookkeeper and your CPA talking to each other, and you're talking about going to C-Corp, that's like, really, you're going from a go-kart to a Tesla. You know, you're talking about just, you know, one step at a time here and everything else. And then the other thing was, the CPA kept talking about, well, you know, you should really open a Roth IRA. And she mentioned it two or three times, which was a curiosity to me, because she had a young kid starting out, doing extremely well. But he didn't even have his personal and his business stuff separated yet. He didn't have a automatic investment plan going into his individual accounts yet. He has a bookkeeper that's hungover, a CPA that's not getting the data she needs, a client talking about a C thing, and we're talking about Roth IRAs? You know, it was like two different wavelengths. It was a very, very interesting meeting for me. And toward the end, I couldn't take it anymore, and I butted in. You know, I'm older than both. I've seen a lot. I said, listen, the C-Corp thing is nice, but you should go to your insurance person and let's get those risks taken care of, okay? Number two, either fire the bookkeeper and give it to the CPA. She goes, well, I'm expensive. I charge hourly. I said, well, let's negotiate that, but I think the same person should be doing the tax returns and the bookkeeping. So there's no mismatch. It's one database, and we have everything. And she looked at me, and she didn't know whether to kill me or thank me. Thank me. I don't know. But it just seemed common sense to me that the same person should be doing both, especially with a younger person like that and whatnot. And the other thing was, forget the Roth IRA. Forget anything qualified right now. I don't even know if he's making money, you know, after expenses. I know he has good cash flow. But the bottom line is he's got to get everything organized before he gets into doing qualified and Roth IRA. That's putting the cart way before the horse. You got to wait on that. So after I spoke, they both looked at me and went, you're right, everything else. So who knows what happens, but it's just very, very interesting to work and go to a meeting like this and listen to what CPA is saying, what the bookkeeper was doing, the client. And it made me think about the language people use, the different wavelengths. And you, as the client and the individual, I call you the civilian, that's not aware of the language or what's going on and everything else, having someone kind of coordinate everything is absolutely invaluable, okay? Whether I'm the person or you have a CPA that's a take-charge type of person, and it's not just a, you know, put it in the computer and then cough it out, you know, that type of thing. Real leadership and everything else. So I just thought it was very interesting. You know, this kid needs to start an automatic savings account so he doesn't do dumb things like buying a new truck every year, which, you know, they fall into when they're successful, all right? If your best friend is the salesman at the car dealership, you might have a problem. I see it all the time. Hey, it's my best. Really? A car salesman's your best friend. Really? Okay. All right. Whatever. Whatever. You know, that might be one where you might go, home. I don't know. Well, this week, people sent me a lot of money from the banks this week. You know, unlike a product pusher, things have spiked up a little bit on me on the income side. So I'm sitting on the money. A couple call, you go, you invested yet? I go, no, I'm going to keep it in the money market till the time is right when I see things at the right price. Because I'm always watching a lot of different things, and there's always something popping up, you know, that gets beat up. I mean, Facebook got beat up last week. General Dynamics got knocked down again. It's getting attractive and stuff like that. And sometimes I just like the chairman of companies. Like, you know, I like the chairman of Bank of America, and I love the chairman of Microsoft. This guy is a dynamo. I love this guy. Okay? But these are just examples. They're not recommendations, but they're just examples of things I'm looking at. Okay? But it's based on you and what, you know, your background is, because some of you got to tiptoe, especially if you've been in banks all these years and never invested before. You just can't go from a go-kart to a Tesla. I know I'm using it again, but I kind of like that visual. Sometimes I just like the whole industry, okay, and I'm watching the index for the whole industry. I don't want to buy an individual company because I don't know that industry well enough. I know I like the industry, but the individual companies, I don't know who's going to be the big one, who's going to dominate it, because they're in their infancy or they're just going through so many changes. So sometimes in industries like robotics, artificial intelligence, there's an index I like that I watch. Cannabis, I watch the marijuana industry. I wouldn't dare buy an individual marijuana stock. Oh, my God, I'd be scared. But the whole industry, that might be an interesting bet at one point or the other. So it's something you should watch out. Lithium that's used in car batteries and batteries everywhere. That's interesting to me. You know, is the time right? I don't know yet. I'm watching it. And the oil industry. I got a feeling we're going to have fireworks in the oil industry. I'm watching everything, the Saudis and the moving around and Putin and Iran. And, you know, I got a feeling something's going on there that could take that oil index of all the oil and gas companies and send it, you know. I don't know when, I don't know how, but when it's low, I just keep accumulating. And when it goes, it goes. So if you'd like my Retirement Ten Commandments, and it's a starting point for our conversation, or you'd like to go to my website and get my input form under the retirement planning button on top, you fill out that input form. List all your assets, liabilities, what you got going on. Email it to me. We'll set up an appointment. We'll start talking and seeing where you're at. And once again, there's no pressure, there's no cost. We're getting to know each other. All right? This is Dennis O'Brien, president of O'Brien Retirement. Give me a ring anytime. And if you'd like to talk on the show, it's 860-464-9490. We'll be back in a few. Thanks. Dennis O'Brien, president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group, www.obrienretire.com. If you'd like my Retirement Ten Commandments, welcome back to the Retirement Life and Investing Show on 94.9 News Now. I always mess that up, Chris. Anyway, I hope everybody's doing well. It's been an interesting week. I was on a little bit of a rant about the CPA Young Entrepreneur. Hope everybody got through it okay. But these are the things that happen, and I just pass them along to you. And, you know, I think it's interesting because it gives you kind of a window into my world and whatnot. So while we're talking about industries I like, and we were just talking about the robotics, the cannabis, lithium, and oil industries. Be patient, because no one knows, and I mean no one knows, when they'll start outperforming. I like to accumulate. I accumulated biotech for almost a year. I was just, you know, accumulating. People are like, is this thing ever going to move? And I go, just be patient. I know the price is good. I just don't know when, okay? The MLP, oil and gas, I've been accumulating it for 2 years, but I got the nice dividend while I was waiting. And now it popped up like 10% in the last 2 weeks. I don't know when. I just know when I think the price is good and everything else. So anybody tells you no, they know and they got a system and, you know, tortoise and the hare. Remember, the hares like to chase. and never get anywhere. The tortoise plans, slowly gets to their goals systematically, and that's what you want to be like and whatnot. So, you know, pay off your house, your cars as you get into retirement. Pay off your credit cards every month and just use them for the points and traveling, okay? But make sure you keep track of that. As you head toward retirement, simplify things. Because, your job is changing, and it'll be a challenge, especially to some of you. Your new job now, as you've acquired enough net worth to live on, to retire, and everything else. Now, here's your new job. Your new job is to educate your kids on how to handle their inheritance and their money. And I know some of you are looking and going, I'm not, what do you mean? And what are you talking about? Oh, it's my time to enjoy myself. Well, my friend Mike, and I made up that name, lives in Florida and worked for a very known company that delivers, okay? And the Matt story is as follows. Matt and I grew up together, all right? And I called him because I wanted to ask about a couple of classmates we had in common, and we got chatting. And Matt goes, hey, I got some questions for you. And I go, oh, this should be interesting. Matt goes, I've accumulated, I'm retired now, same age as me, and I've accumulated a couple million bucks, and I'm about to inherit a couple million bucks. I go, way to go, Matt. Buddy, old pal. So I said, what's the problem? Well, the problem is that if I die, my wife has no idea how to handle this. And he goes, and if she passes, my son, who works for Kentucky Fried Chicken up in Kentucky, has no clue. Absolutely no clue. Paycheck to paycheck, whatever. And I said, then he had some technical questions about some funds he owned and where they were, and they were with product pushers inherited from the 401k world, which they are very good at getting themselves into. And I told him, we talked about all that. But my main thrust of this conversation is this, okay? I said, Matt, your wife, you got to make sure that she's aware or surround herself with people, okay, that actually know you and know her, that she can get to know and trust, okay, number one. Your son, this is very, very tricky, and this is what I think you should do, okay? This is my advice to my friend of, probably 50, 55 years. Known him forever. Thank God for Facebook. We got back in touch. I said, your son has no clue. So what you need to do is take all that stock you got from your company, and it's a lot of money. And I said, start gifting some to him and tell him you're doing it. Make sure he gets the account and make sure that he starts calling you and asking you questions. He goes, you sure? I go, yes. What if he runs out and sells it? Well, he has that ability to do that, okay? But if you gift it the right way, you can kind of tell him, hey, it's a joint, blah, 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 blah. But this is the reason for doing it, okay? And you can start out very small. What I want you to do is start telling him, listen, you need to learn some of this or surround yourself. I'm going to turn you on to, say, Dennis, who will work with you too, okay? If I drive you crazy, because I don't know the father-son relationship. But the main point of gifting is to get the son some skin in the game. I want him, the son, to go, wait a minute, Dad is giving me something, and he's asking me to learn about it, and he's telling me about his friend Dennis or Jim or whoever will help me learn this too. Hey, this isn't theoretical anymore. This is real. I'm getting some money here, and I oh my God, I got to learn this. So I told Matt when he has some skin in the game, he's going to get very, very interested. And then as he can develop the relationship around him, he goes, well, what if I just go to the local trust department down here in Florida? I go, here's the problem with that. Number one, if you put everything in a trust, unless he's, he has serious learning disabilities and cannot mentally or intellectually handle it, okay, which you have not indicated. And he said, no, he doesn't. I go, what he's going to perceive you as doing is controlling him from the grave, which is a very common thing with successful. Usually people have strong egos, successful people. You might be trying to control. Your son may perceive it that way, okay? So What I would do is you love your son. He loves you. Now you have a granddaughter. So please, gift. You have nothing to lose. He's going to get it eventually anyway. And this will open a door. It's something you guys will have in common and can talk about. You want to get me involved or someone else you're comfortable with? That's up to you. But it's the best gift you can give your kids when it comes to money is education. You can give them all the money in the world. They can win the lottery, Powerball, or what's that other one, Mega Millions. We know all the damn fools that have signed football contracts and lost everything. Lost everything. It wasn't the money. It was the education. They have to have the education. Or surround them with people that will help them. And they trust and they have a team around them. Because the money can disappear. You know, a couple snake oil salesmen come in and I got a land deal, I got car washes. I've seen this with pro athletes. They're babe in the woods. Babe in the woods. So you surround, you start educating your son, and this is what all of you need to do. Because when you come in my office and some of you come in, you have net worths between 1 and 3 million. 401ks, you have houses, you've done a great job. You got great kids and everything else. But now you need, this is your new job when you retire, is to educate the kids on what is coming, how to handle it, and start maybe gifting or talking about helping them out a little bit too and everything else. This is a big deal. The ones that do this successfully, because we have a taboo in our society, don't talk about money, don't talk about money. I get it. I grew up that way too. Everything else, it's dumb. It's stupid. It's not everything, but it's important. And to teach them, and that's your new job, is to give them that education. So that's something, when you come in my office, the first thing I'm going to ask you about, not the first thing, but eventually we get around to, is tell me about your kids. How old are they? What are they doing? Oh, you've done a great job. They're successful. They're in their late 20s. They're in their early 30s. You know, it's usually their age when their people are retired. They're married yet? No. One son's a player, the other son's getting married. You know, I hear all of it. Who's good with money? Who isn't? You know? And if you have two brothers, you know the siblings are going to be as different as they can be to differentiate themselves to the parents. You know that's the case. Now, just get away from the Matt story about educating and whatnot. I want to talk about my industry a little bit, okay, and give you the straight scoop on the way I perceive things. More and more, as I see more and more of these statements come in, and more of you out there I talk to, okay? Most successful advisors in the industry are trained to be good asset gatherers, which means they hand off the investments to an in-house program where one size fits all. Fill out the questionnaire, the computer figures out your risk tolerance, 40 stocks, 40, 20, you know, whatever. They do that allocation, and it's fixed. Doesn't change. Markets go down, markets go up, your life changes, this is going on, that's going, never changes. It's on automatic pilot because that asset gatherer has moved on to gather more assets. And that's how they leverage their time. Okay? Do you get it? That's how the business works. Okay? And then the fee you're paying is an annuity to their bottom line and whatnot. Okay? I'm the opposite. All right? Asset gathering is certainly important to me, but more important, I'm much more interested in running the portfolios. The thought of selling the same products to clients over and over again, like a mutual fund or annuity, the same product over and over again, would want me to walk over to the Gold Star Bridge and jump. Okay? I would lose my mind. Okay? Because to me, I would absolutely lose my mind. Okay, when I had Alessio and Barbara in here from the University of Florence, who got their master's in quantitative finance and went back after 3 months with me, they were shocked by my mathematical vector vest algorithm program that I use to monitor investments. They were shocked. They go, this is state of the art. Matter of fact, Barbara did her master's thesis on ETFs, the indexes that I use, after I taught her about them and whatnot. So doing the right thing is very important. Without integrity, we have nothing. You might disagree with me, but you'll never doubt that I believe in what I'm telling you is the truth, okay? And I see portfolios all the time full of GE and Pfizer stocks that should have been told 10, 15 years ago because of poor management. I see portfolios of products bought every time a salesperson, asset gatherer, gets close, especially in the banks. Most of the clients do not know what they own. Most clients are very different. I have trained them to look for opportunities and send them. If they see a company or a product, and before I go, I just want to tell you, this guy sent me a company that does the laser dental. I looked it up. Unfortunately, the company's still private up in Needham. But, oh, my God, the technology and the people involved, it's very, very interesting. I love when clients send that to me. These clients have evolved into like little mini partnerships. Thanks for listening today. My name is Dennis O'Brien from www.obrienretired.com. I'm at exit 90, just up from Steakloft. If you ever want to stop in, give me a ring, 860-415-9614. But the third week in August, I'll be in California getting trained or being trained or whatever they call it. Have a great week, everybody, and stay dry. Bye-bye now.